Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, even with Parliament shuttered, members of Parliament and other elected representatives still play a vital role in ensuring the success of the national COVID-19 immunisation programme, which is widely believed to be the way out of the twin public health and economic crisis we face. Now, as we eventually make our way through each state and territory in Malaysia, tonight's show will focus on the state of Pahang. We're going to be speaking to three Pahang MPs to better understand the situation on the ground, each MP's role in the implementation of the PIK program, as well as the challenges that they face carrying out their representational functions under current restrictions. Let's begin the show today with Ramli Mohamed Noor. He's the UMNO Member of Parliament for Cameron Highlands. Hello, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Now, if I may begin with a closer look at the composition of your constituency. Cameron Highlands is home to a number of Orang Asli communities. And the last time we checked, the nationwide tally for Orang Asli eligible recipients under the PIK program totaled some 127,000. I'm just wondering, Ramli, in terms of your constituency, how many have been vaccinated and what has been done to help get them vaccinated?
All right, now, Melissa, if we are going to talk about my constituency, the pressing need right at this moment is the society here that wants to get back to their normal life, right? That is very, very pertinent from what I perceive around here. And then in the matters of the economic activities to sustain their life. And lastly, the need to get them vaccinated immediately. Because if you look at my constituency, a number of them, basically, especially those Orang Asli, they're way, way off the national grid. So we need to approach them, convince them. But the outer constituency, I mean to say the local, other than the Orang Asli, we have not much perspective or problem of registering them and getting them to vaccinated.
Ravi, could you help us understand the particular problems of, as you say, people, citizens who are off the grid in Cameron Highlands? Is it terrain? Is it the digital divide? What is it that prevents Orang Asli communities from kind of accessing the information that they need and also registering?
All right, Sharad, if you look at my constituency, about more or less about 23 to 25% are the Orang Asli voters. Right? They basically live in the interior. In terms of communication-wise, the road access is not that good. And besides that, communication in terms of internet, telephone line is quite a lot to be done. So when information reach them, they might be distorted, they might misunderstand. So these are the matters that curtail the activities of in terms of information they receive.
Can I ask you then, Ramli, what's being done to help overcome those challenges? Is there anything that you're doing to help those communities in particular overcome these challenges?
All right. In terms of physical access, in terms of roads, there are a few projects that have been approved. For example, the Batau Simoi Lama SS, the government have already approved over 21 million for the project. And the interior from Simoi Lama to Lenjang, more or less I was speaking with the district engineer, the government have already approved about 31 million. And we hope by the end of 2022, all this network will be there. Meanwhile, if you talk about telecommunication, last few months I was with the minister, and from what I was made to understand, the project is ongoing, and in fact, certain quarters of the area I saw an improvement of telecommunication in terms of internet access and phone. We hope that by the end of 2023, this network will exist and work properly.
Yeah, so that's very interesting. Maybe one other component that needs to be added to the discussion of who's in Cameron Highlands and what the, you know, their specific needs are foreign workers. I understand that, especially in the agricultural sector, there are many foreign workers. How has that issue been addressed? Because it seems to be a kind of nationwide problem to vaccinate them or to alienate them. It seems to be twin pools within the government at the moment.
All right, Sharat, in this perspective, this is my point of view. It is first we get our citizen first to be fully registered and vaccinated. And in terms of Cameron Highland, from what I got the feedback, we are also registering them and presume in 1 or 2 months the practical aspect of it can be done. This includes the foreign workers that already exist in our constituency.
So can I ask, just follow up on that then? You know, I mean, a part of the economy of Cameron Highlands, agriculture and farming is a huge part of that. Can we talk about the livelihoods of those affected by the pandemic and the subsequent lockdown and the economic crisis, and also the foreign labour who work within the this industry? What do you understand about the situation on the ground of their welfare?
All right, Melissa, if you look at the Cameron Highland economy, you know, it's basically a tourism base. So the impact is great in the sense that there are no more hordes of tourists coming in. So there is no more business. So the perspective of economics of earning by the locals, these have great impacts on Cameron Highland. Meanwhile, product exports, you understand that Cameron Highland, basically a majority of the products are exported. So it curtails in terms of production, in terms of movement, which is very important. It affects the change for these products to be exported. If locally, yes, our economy's impact is very bad.
Rami, could you help us understand how much help the government has given to the agricultural sector or any kind of initiatives to help, ease the flow of the supply of vegetables, either locally or across the border to Singapore, for instance?
All right, sure. I was with Menteri Besar Pahang a few days back. In fact, I'm constantly in touch with him. If you look, if you talk about AIDS, health, the state government has initiated from their state coffer, about 7.8 million to help, especially those frontliners, daily small business owner, taxi drivers, those being quarantined, vagabonds, poor citizen, handicapped, elder citizen, single parents. This is a one-off assistance. And beside that, we are constantly monitoring to our local district office, the PKOB Bencana Jatuhan Kuasa, whichever that can be assisted in terms of movement and such, we usually will keep in touch with MITI, keep in touch with our Menteri Pertahanan, our Senior Security Minister Yang Berhormat Ismail Sabri, and we try to ease these activities to somehow rather let the economic do not go to zero. There is still movement, and we are really hoping that this COVID matter be due over in a very soon, the soonest.
All right. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you sharing your insights with us tonight. Appreciate your time. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. Now, if you've just joined us on the show, tonight we're speaking to three Pahang MPs or Members of Parliament to find out exactly the economic needs of their constituents during this crisis, but also the challenges that they face in getting the people of Pahang vaccinated. We speak now to Fuzia Saleh, PKR MP for Kuantan. Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Fuzia. And I'm just wondering, since the rollout of the national COVID-19 immunization program, are you satisfied with the vaccination rate of your constituents? What are we seeing? What do we know so far about how quickly the people of Kuantan are getting vaccinated?
Hi, good evening. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for inviting me to this show. I would just like to share that Kuantan is a semi-urban, semi-rural. My constituency is semi-urban. We are part of the newly new city of Kuantan, but many part of my constituency is also bordering to Pekan. So the background of the my constituents are varied. There are many of them who work as fishermen or work in agriculture and so on. Those in the town center mostly work in a small in businesses, small businesses in banks and so on. So I think when I describe that, you can imagine how we are affected by this pandemic and by the lockdown directly, because you see, especially about the PDPR, we have difficulty with internet connectivity. Parents have difficulty with having gadgets for their children, homeschooling. In fact, my house, we don't even have a landline. I don't have Unify in my house. I'm using Wi-Fi, and sometimes I have difficulty with my Wi-Fi too. So that's on one front, but on the economic front, we are also badly hit, because especially those who are daily wage earners, who work in the pasar malam, and who manage small micro industries, these are the ones badly hit. And on a daily basis, we do get a lot of requests and for assistance to put food on the table, and so on.
So turn to the vaccination issue that Melissa raised. You paint a really interesting picture of your constituents. Who is in the loop and who's kind of off the grid in terms of awareness and access for vaccinations?
If you look at the data, Sharad, you can see that Pahang is one of the lowest in terms of those who have registered to vaccinate. In terms of those of non-turnout, Pahang is one of the highest. And also Pahang is among the lowest after Kelantan and Terengganu in terms of numbers of those who have received vaccination. Right. As to exactly who, I have a bit of a difficulty with that, because I think PKOB have a difficulty communicating directly with me, and they have not invited me to any of their meetings. I like now, it is very important for us to be working closely together. However, I can only get my information in the public domain like the others. I have difficulty having access to information. So I am also in the dark, groping in the dark, finding out who is the most disadvantaged group within my
country. Fuzia, when you referred to PKOB, that is the Pusat Kawalan Operasi Bencana. Is that right? So that means, so every constituency has a one stop center to coordinate kind of emergency supplies and the vaccination. Is that correct? Okay, and you haven't had a lot of communication with them? Is that only been a one-way communication, as in they tell you, they brief you, or they're not listening?
They don't tell me, they don't brief me, they didn't call me for meetings, they don't respond to me. In fact, there was once when they wrongly invited me, and then when I was so excited because they have not invited me for the past 1 year, And suddenly I received an invitation. I was very, very excited. But upon logging in to the meeting, I was declined 3 times. I was stopped from entering the meeting room. So apparently they made a mistake of inviting me.
Fuzia, we see this over and over again, this lack of willingness to share with those who are seen as political rivals. Because we just spoke to Ramli Matno from Cameron Highlands, and he says he's on a in daily contact with the Menteri Besar's office. So how can bridges be built in order that you can serve your constituents better? Because clearly, if you're left out of the loop, it doesn't serve anybody's benefit.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sharad, but it worked both ways. I reach out and they have to respond. But if I reach out and there's no response whatsoever, then there's difficulty. For example, I have to go to the individual agencies and see if they can respond to me. For example, I go to Jabatan Kebajikan and ask them what are the assistance that they have. So they say they have some food basket. And I have to ask them what is the criterion for asking for the constituents to apply for this food basket. And one by one, it goes like that. There are some agencies that are helpful. There are some agencies that are not. So, or they fear that of something. I don't know what it is. But that's the situation. And it's not easy. It's like groping in the dark. I want to do as much as I can for my constituents, but that's the challenges in front of me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and sharing those issues that you're facing. We hope that you get some of them resolved, but thank you for letting us know the challenges that you're facing. We're going to take a quick break here, but we've just been speaking to Fuzia Saleh, MP of Kuantan there. After this, another MP in Pahang, the MP of Bintong. So stay tuned to Consider This. Thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation with members of parliament from Pahang on the show today. Let's speak now to Wong Tak. He's the DAP member for parliament for the constituency of Bentong. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. We want to ask you about the vaccination rollout that's going on in your constituency. Has it been a smooth process so far? Are you satisfied with the rate of vaccination within the constituency of Bentong?
It is a bit worrisome. Bentong have a population of 120,000. That means we have to, in order to achieve 80%, we need to vaccinate 96,000 people. To date, I understand, I was informed, only 12,000 have been vaccinated. And at the moment, the capacity, we have two PPV in Bentong, and every day we have to vaccinate about 800. We have the capacity of 800 people to be vaccinated. But unfortunately, I was informed vaccine coming into Bentong, delivered into Bentong, the figure was never certain. At time 600, at time 300, there's full of uncertainty. How to carry out program, effective program with supply that is so uncertain. With the rate going on now, I think we have to reach the target of 80%, 96,000 people, probably will be sometime next year.
Wong Tak, I want to ask you about the number you gave us about the numbers of people who live in Bentong. It's 120,000. Does this number include people who are non-citizens? And I'm I'm wondering, because in December, when you had an enhanced MCO, and it involved many non-locals, and this is what the news was reporting, 45 companies, 120 premises, 1,200 residents, and the reports say majority of whom were non-local.
Yes, there are. This 120,000 is only the resident, Malaysian resident in Bantam.
How many non-locals do you estimate they are in the constituency? Because this is important for the control of the disease. I mean, the disease does not discriminate between citizens and non-citizens.
Exactly. In Bantam, we have a small industry area. I believe the number not so big like other urban area.
Okay.
For foreign worker.
And just speaking about the rollout of the vaccination program, I'm just wondering, okay, what can be done to facilitate a better, or more efficient vaccination rate in Bantam? Are we talking about more PPVs? Are we talking about more dialogue between yourself versus federal government, which is coordinating this? What would you like to see improved in the entire vaccination process?
You see, Bantam is a big area, the constituency of Bantam. From Genting, go all the way to the border of Negeri Sembilan. Beside the township of Bantam, we have 8 Feldas team. We have 15 Chinese New Village, and we have 15 Orang Asli settlement, and we have 6 SD, and then many rural kampung area. So it's a big area to cover. Mm. To me, this moment, we have 2 PPV, which is ridiculous. And we are talking about people coming out from Brangai to Momoi. We are talking about 2 hours. We are talking about 50 to 60 kilometer travel distance. So for people to come in a rural area, stricken with poverty at this moment, and how to travel the kind of distance, how do they plan to come out to the township? I think the government must come up with a very effective mechanism, get to the people. The delivery system must go in rather than have them to come out. I want to see more activate all the clinic, local clinic in their area, and then have the mobile unit when there is no local clinics in their area. And we have to empower the local leader, the religious leader, the NGO, local groups, and let them all come forward, fight this one together. That is the only way. Every village, every kampung must come together and fight this as a one coordinated force. Understand that the nation is at war. Understand that the situation is war. Every day, people are dying. But I don't see this government see that urgency, or the community see that urgency, because there is no effective national campaign to evoke the kind of spirit for people to come forward to fight this together.
Yeah, we're running out of time. Just one quick question. Could you describe the economic challenges for your constituents and the support they're getting or not getting?
No, we're talking about majority of rural area. Now we're talking about M4D, B4D. I think at this moment, the way I look at it, there's no more M40. It's all B40 out there. 80% of them probably facing serious economic challenge. Everyone is worried how to make the ends meet. Everybody's worried food on the table, So people are suffering economically with a year, more than a year of pandemic. So there's a lot of hardship out there for people to, for us to convince them to look at this, to come out, take a day off and to come out with their own expenses, travel. There's no, many places have no good bus services, no bus services, in fact, you know, to come out, you know, particularly for senior citizens, the sick, you know, the disadvantaged group, you know, deep into the village. Very difficult for them to get themselves vaccinated.
Okay, Wong Tak, thank you so much for joining us on the show. That was Wong Tak, MP of Bentong, wrapping up our episode tonight. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. But thank you so much for watching the show. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
We will be back with you same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.